This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Jonah Ray. Dio can't make it as he is off riding a rainbow made of unicorns. But first, we're going to start with a user submitted. User submitted. No one uses this. They listen to it.
Oh.
God damn it. All right.
I would have completely missed that.
All right. Well, here's Patrick McCormick with his Jonah Radio theme song. Enjoy. Thank you
nice.
So much for that, Patrick McCormick. Can't get more Irish than that name. Patrick McCormick, Paddy McKay.
Paddy Mick.
Okay, Paddy Mickey. So thanks for tuning in to Jonah Radio. With us, as always, is our producer, Cash. Cash is mic-less right now. And by that, I mean his lover, Mike, has left him. And we hope for a speedy recovery emotionally to Cash.
Sorry about your loss, Cash.
And, of course, our very own Neil Mahoney.
You're not. I don't belong to you.
It's our very own. I didn't
our,
say. Yeah,
America's.
I was saying you as in you all.
Yeah. But
thank you for having me.
All right, and our guest for today, our guest cannot beatbox. That is one hint. He spits. Our guest today. You've seen him in. Seen him in the Sarah Silverman program. He has his own podcast, yeah. Which I can't remember the name of. And he is a very, very funny comedian and a friend of ours. Please, everybody, Steve Agee.
Yeah, bad the bone. Bad. Cash ain't got no microphone.
Yep. So that's Steve Agee is our guest. What is that?
It's an air horn.
It's an air horn. Yeah. We got to get you plugged in.
What do you mean?
We got to make it so you could be the one that does all the stuff instead of having to hold your phone up to the thing.
Well, next week I won't come straight from work.
Okay, thank you, Neil. Thank you for that. All right, guys, let's get into it with some music news.
Who let the dogs out?
Who?
Today, the Essential series, which is the compilations that come out putting out the essential songs of classic bands, put out the Essential Incubus. I tried to give it a listen, but the entire CD was blank.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. You get into
Shut
Incubus?
Up.
Anybody?
Shut up.
God damn it. This is my favorite one yet out of the two. And we only just begun. I never got into Incubus. Anybody else?
Never. I didn't.
No.
No? Anybody? No. I remember I saw them. They came to a music festival in Hawaii called the Big Mele. I think they played the third one or something like that. And it was just... And the singer, it was before the singer got hot. Remember, he used to be, they had the dirt stash and the dreadlocks.
Right? Yeah.
Then he got a nice haircut, shaved the dirt stash, became fucking sexy as all get out.
Chicks dug him.
He was so hot.
Yeah.
I remember I knew a kid that kind of just like was a skinny kid with the longish hair. Once, what was his name? Brandon Boyd?
Yeah.
The Brandon Boyd became like this, like.
I mean, I think so.
Yeah. Do you listen to Incubus with singer Brandon Boyd? No. And that kid just started getting laid left and right. Ryan Lau is his name.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for Ryan Lau.
Good, Ryan.
I never...
I didn't get into any of that stuff. Yeah, 311?
Yeah. Oh, why would you?
Every time I try to sing a 311 song, I end up just going right into Informer by Snow. It's like, I don't even... Like, what's a 311 song?
Yeah.
I don't hate those bands. I just
I'm chocolate moose moose. Moose moose informer. Some of the team lamb down. Licky boom boom down. How many?
When I tried to picture 311, I immediately pictured Crazy Town, and then
Come My Lady.
Because that's like another.
You're my butterfly. Sugar.
That's another weird group where there's two white guy singer rappers.
Baby.
And then I started thinking of Linkin Park.
The one 311 song that I heard, and this is, it was Bradley Nowell, the guy from Sublime, who admittedly was probably an asshole, but this
made
me so
Guy that overdosed on drugs right after he had a newborn? Yeah. That guy is no asshole at all.
No. But he waited until their right before their first date of the Warped Tour that they were playing together, walked on stage after they had set up and sound checked, and deleted all their samples. And then walked away.
Jesus.
So they for the rest of the tour, they had to go like re-get all of their samples that they were using to play live.
It kind of reminds me of...
That's fucked up.
It kind of reminds me of that time when Sonic Youth had their entire trailer stolen. You guys remember that?
No.
Early 2000s, late 90s?
Yeah. They're slowly finding some of that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Their trailer. So, and they have all these songs that are only specifically... able to be played off of these specifically tuned guitars. Like, it's like, how am I going to get another guitar where I can put three screwdrivers into it?
Yeah. And it also, all the pickups were custom, drilled out and, shit was removed.
Yeah, there was just a bunch of tuning, weird tuning things where they got a guitar to where they had it, wanted it for a specific song.
Yeah. That's fucked.
It's just another bull in the heather.
but since they are since the internet, they have a full invoice of everything that was stolen on their website, and then all these guitar nerds scour pawn shops and eBay and shit and find them.
And then just kept them.
Well, no.
If they were real guitar nerds.
They've gotten, I think a dozen, decent things back.
How bummed were you guys when you found out that Kim Gordon and Thurston Moore were splitting up? I'll tell you this. I was really bummed.
Really?
I was really bummed. I don't know why. They were just a couple I thought would be together forever. They're one of those couples you could be like, you could be an artistic couple working together and it could work. It can work. And it didn't. And it messed me up. I always got, same thing when I found out about Will Arnett and Amy Poehler.
Fucking
bummed me out.
That is a bummer.
Yeah. And then fucking DeVeats and Rhea Perlman.
Yeah. These things happen in threes, man.
There was some other couple that.
Yeah, it was me.
I know. I was talking about artistic people that were famous.
Shut up!
Hey, we're about to hear. Spin Magazine did a 50 video game samples, the 50 best video game samples in hip hop, and it was a pretty good comprehensive list, but it was missing. The first I thought really good. I mean, it had been happening since arcade games were out that there was tons of that stuff. But the one they were missing is a track by Boak from the Earthlings crew up in I think San Francisco, and he used a Zelda, and they didn't use it in the list, but it's so fucking good. And it was the first time I had heard a really good song being used for a beat. Let's take a little.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's just still the normal.
I know, it's still awesome though, just to hear song. That.
Now, these lyrics will specifically out certain human beings on the face of the planet. These people are the MC, the writer, the disc jock, the beatbox. The MC, the writer, the disc jock, the beatbox. The MC, the writer, the disc jock, the beatbox. The EMC double E. Now what's the fresh rest? No, you ever heard in your life caressing famous quotes you tend to recreate with those pathos is the deep.
That sounds pretty
like
awesome.
My verse here, which will make me
sorry, what?
It sounds pretty underground. I can understand why they missed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is some
Do you have the list on you? Do you know the top five?
Yeah, we can pull it up right here. Yeah. Friend?
What the top five were?
There was one with a Super Mario underworld theme, I think.
Do, 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 do.
Cash is saying Aesop Rock had then Snap twice.
That was actually what it was called. It was like Chick Chick Chick. Aesop Rocks. Aesop Rock. The first one they have is they used Galaxian from 1979.
Nice.
UNKLE featuring Kool G Rap, Guns Blazing, Drums of Death Part 1.
That's that British guy, right?
Yeah. Cool. There's 50 of these, and the internet's being real slow, so you can go and check it out. It's on spin.com. It's, the article's called Arcade Fire. So, yeah, they forgot that one, which I really enjoyed. That was the first time I had heard that shit. So go to spin.com and check out their list. Now, moving on. More music news.
Next.
Next song. Next song.
Next bit of news.
So the band Onomatoguchi, chiptune band, which you could recognize their song Sunset Hues Jetpack Blues or the other way around. They had a song that was completely ripped off by the Disney company.
Oh yeah. I saw that. That's
yeah. So here's
blatantly,
here's the original,
which is also the Nerdist theme song.
It's also the Nerdist theme song. You also recognize this as the Nerdist theme song.
Yep.
All right, keep that in mind as we now listen to Disney's commercial, online commercial for an app they have called Pixeled, where you can make pixel art and whatnot.
Different key, same exact song.
Even this part. It's just fucking...
Measure for measure, a ripoff.
Yeah. So someone online went ahead and put Disney on the left, Onomatoguchi on the right. Playing at the same time.
Same tempo.
Same tempo.
I have only one ear of music, so I only hear the wrong one.
Well, great. Then you fucking ruined everything. There goes our entire 3-hour discussion on.
Oh, boy. No, it's fine.
We need to get a soundboard made because I do want to have you saying, "Oh boy." Can you do that?
Oh boy.
Good. Now, if someone can please just send us that, I want to be able to just drop that in.
Oh,
wherever
boy.
Wherever I please. Now, that do you think that the Onomatoguchi guys have a case?
Absolutely.
Yeah, do you think they'll get rich? Or do you think Disney will be able to smite them down?
Yeah, that's a pretty big company you're going against. Not known as non-litigious Disney.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have guys like on staff.
That is so spot on, though. I bet they'd settle.
Yeah, I bet it was just some guy who sent some guy that song saying, make something like this. And it got so, you know, Game of Telephone down. Yeah. Where a guy was like, well, I'll just make this.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are just kids. We're Disney. In my head, Disney's the guy who runs Disney is Jack Black. We're Disney. Fuck them.
Are they
trying, fuck them, Kyle?
Are they trying to get any money or like?
I don't know. I actually should I should email them and see what they are up to as far as that.
If you're a copyright infringement lawyer, email us.
JonahRadio@gmail.com. Now they started that band when they were really young, and they are able to manipulate the fucking like chiptune stuff better than I think most of those kids that are doing it. Not all kids are good at music.
No.
This is one of my favorite things to listen to. It makes me feel better. This is a high school orchestra doing a really bad job of the 2001 Space Odyssey theme.
No.
I'm not sure if you heard it, but my friend he said it correctly when he said that he's like, oh, you could tell a lot of dads in that audience making those kids nervous. A lot of dads.
Already.
This is high school?
Yeah.
High school.
Fuck. accent.
What a bummer.
Oh, shit. Not even the drummer. Not even the simplest part of this song can get...
He doesn't have those cheap, timpani drums.
You don't know what he's got.
He doesn't have them at home.
They're the Peter Brady of high school bands.
Yeah. And that last...
Fucking fuck.
Are you sure it's a high school?
No, I'm not sure, but fucking what? That's the difference.
It's like a sixth grade, baby.
I don't care.
It's what terrible. Fucking,
what sixth grade band teacher's like, all right, we're going to do 2001 A Space Odyssey.
It's like six notes. You can't really fuck it up. Well, apparently you can.
I was in band in the seventh grade, and we fucking rocked the shit out of fucking the Jurassic Park theme song.
That's a good one.
That is good.
People and we also I hum that all the time, but I'm I don't that part, yeah.
Remember when you and Dax Shepard got mad at me for humming that constantly at the when we did the Doug Benson interruption for the Oscars, and every time
fuck man, yeah, that's right.
Every time someone would just start to say their speech, I'd go,
oh my god,
and it killed the first three times.
Yeah,
and then I kept doing it because I thought it was so funny to just keep on driving it into the ground.
Yeah.
Until everybody got mad. Everybody, even D, gave me the old, maybe not every time. Maybe not all the time.
That's your memoir. And then everyone got mad.
Yeah. there's a song that we played on, and this is the second week in a row I'm doing this, but a song we played on Web Soup where, Neil, I'm realizing putting a mirror right in front of you might not have been the best idea.
Great idea.
Go.
All right, this is I'm Fat and Nobody Likes Me. It's this fat redhead kid. And his buddy, and I feel for like fat nerdy kids because I was one. But I feel sorry for him and get angry at them at the same time. But this is their song. I'm fat and nobody likes me.
And nobody likes me.
Oh no. Someone's yelling, that's true.
When I go to school, kids make fun. Some even call me Attila the Hun. I have three warts on my left side. I think they're just growths, but my mom says they're cancerous. And so I have to go in for treatment with the doctor injecting the needle into my face.
Hilarious.
Which actually was a deadly breed of Botox. So now I look twice as fat as I really am. But I'm actually really fat. But nobody ever liked me, so it doesn't matter. You know what? I'm gonna go poop on my cat because that's the only thing that I'm above.
Also, it seemed like during that part there was a guy behind the camera just doing the stretch, stretch, stretch.
Keep it
in. I'm fat and nobody likes me. I'm fat and nobody likes me.
I'm fat
and nobody likes me.
Here's
make
a weird
fun of me and poop on my face.
Poop on my face.
When I sit down to go to the bathroom, I have to even sit down when I go pee because I've had so many wedgies. Not
so many wedgies.
My left side. And so my veins are disconfigured in a way so that I pee upwards and I urine all over my face. And it's really disgusting. I don't appreciate it. I tried to get it fixed with a razor knife, but I accidentally cut myself open, which really wasn't all that bad because now I only have about a pint of blood left. Some kid slit my throat, so I just sew it up every night so it looks like I'm a raggedy ass doll. But really, I have about the brains of a raggedy ass doll because nobody's ever liked me. I'll forget it. I just want to die. I'm fat.
And he just goes up,
he's
right
fat,
back down.
I'm fat. And nobody likes me. I'm fat.
They need an electric guitar and some
music. They're sitting in a field.
Yeah.
There's another thing about this video that makes me really I feel like really sad when I'm watching it. And it's a lot because the guy he's with that's also playing guitar with him looks like exactly like my friend Donald that I grew up with, like a skinny kid with a shaved head hanging out with a fat kid trying to make jokes and just being gross more than anything else.
Yeah.
I love this song.
It is awesome. I like it.
I dig what this kid is doing. I kind of did something very similar when I was growing up. And like, AG, did you do shit like that?
Yeah, me and my friends, I mean, we couldn't play instruments at that age, but we would, you know, take scores from soundtracks and put them on cassette recorder and sing over them. Yeah, we did.
Are you sure you just weren't in like a theater group?
Yep.
Were you in a funny improv troupe?
I wish.
AG, up. Happy Place.
Hey.
I could definitely see that being me. I'm glad the internet doesn't exist or didn't exist when I was making stuff like that.
I imagine I'd have some hidden gems, but that's just kind of like, I don't know. That's what I did when I was growing up, you know.
Yeah, it reminds me of you at a certain point you have to grow a person. And Patton Oswalt said it where it was like you at a certain point you realize it's like, well, maybe I'm short and fat and people don't like me, but there's nothing I can do about that. So I'm going to develop a personality. And that's what that felt like was it was like that kid going like, I'm tired of hearing all this shit. So I'm just going to say it myself.
He's learning to work with what he has.
Word.
Working for a living. I do have a lot of stuff from when I was that age, but my mom gave it to me on my 30th birthday, all on DVD, and I was like, you shouldn't have given me this.
Oh, yeah, I remember when you got some of that stuff.
I was like, oh, I just put it away. And then I was like, and then when I moved, I was like, I think I lost that stuff. And there was like a minute where I was like, oh, no. And then that was completely fine.
There's a little bit of, you know, at the end of your life when someone's going to they need something to play on the video screen next to your fucking casket.
I hope
it's not my poorly written 16-year-old self trying to do like Quentin Tarantino movies with a VHS camcorder.
Here's the thing. The fact here, and this is people get so embarrassed of the stuff they did in the past. And if you were still stoked on it, well, then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
If you look back, you're like, oh, if only I could still do that. You're not doing it right. When I hear guys going, oh, it was so cool being a kid. No, it fucking wasn't. It sucked. Being an adult is rad. I could drive someplace and get a shake, and no one's going to tell me no, except for the other guy inside of me.
Yeah.
But it's like if you're looking at this stuff and cringing, that's great.
It's normal.
You've grown as an artist.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about it.
It seemed like you did. you fucking booted it into the ocean and gave it a fare thee well.
No, I was just fine with it. I was fine with my memory of it rather than having a DVD like, hey, guys, come watch this.
We have a hard copy of Neil's horrifying past.
Yeah.
Man.
Although, I will say this. When I was a teenager or whatever, I was friends with kids who lived on where I grew up, only in the summer. So that meant they were rich kids, and they this kid had a boat, his boat.
Mitt Romney.
Yes, it was Mitt Romney. No. So he had this tiny little motorboat thing, and we would do stunts, jumping from boat to boat.
Nice. And,
shooting down this thing.
That's how people die.
I know.
That's how
I know.
Kids die. And when you hear boating accident, it's Neil and his friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a 12-year-old jumping from one 13-foot Boston Whaler into another.
Well, it's a Boston Whaler.
It's a tiny
little outboard. Yeah. Outboard boat.
A Zodiac?
No, not inflatable, but it's a hard, a boat.
One time, we had a Zodiac growing up. One time my dad was trying to, pull the cord to start the engine, and his hand slipped off the cord at the backswing and just punched me in the face. I fall over the side. Yeah.
That's fucking funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious, especially, when I had seen a shark in the bay, a few days before
shit.
That. I was like, I remember one time we were snorkeling off a canoe, and I was down, and I saw a moray eel, and I was so fucking scared. I had all day, I had trouble, getting into the, I was a fat kid, so I had trouble getting into the canoe, without tipping it over.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was just, and I remember when I saw that thing, I swam up so fast that I came out of the water and landed in the canoe
standing like, position.
Yeah, yeah, just like a seal.
That is the worst creature on earth that I can think of.
A moray eel? Nothing uglier. I mean, a shark is cute compared to a moray eel.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like covered in like green fucking mold and shit.
It's the worst. I'd rather they have less a eel. God. Oh shit.
Less a eel.
I couldn't even finish.
Good God.
Please unsubscribe to Jonah Radio.
Good.
All right, let's listen to a song by Sundials called Either Way off the album Never Settle.
I'll shut my mouth. I know you never wrong. I'm always late. And I'll do my best to come off kind of strong and worth the wait. It's in my blood, my body. I never sleep without thinking about the day. Too much to live like I'm dead fresh. So my worries stay. Tomorrow's tomorrow either way.
All right, that was Sundials. Now, our guest is Steve Agee.
True.
And, is this a quiz? And you're white.
True.
Okay, and you were in the Laura Silverman program.
Yes. False.
Careful on that mic, man. You're coming in pretty hot.
Yeah. Did it get louder? It seems louder. False.
So you were a desert rat.
Yeah.
You were from the Riverside. Is that the actual town, or are you just from...
Riverside, yeah. I'm from Riverside, which is... It's basically desert.
Yeah.
It's the
Rocky Plains before the desert really takes
over. It's the borderland desert.
Yeah. And what were you into out there? Were you into a lot of that desert rock stuff?
Yeah.
So Queens, Caius. Caius was before Queens, but...
Caius, yeah.
Yeah, and the Desert Sessions.
Fu Manchu. Yeah, Desert Sessions, all that stuff.
And so you were going to a lot of shows in Palm Springs? And
out in the desert in Riverside and, all over Southern California.
What was the Showcase Theater? Is that the venue that was out there?
In Riverside?
No, it's somewhere near there, right?
Yeah. Where's the Showcase Theater? There were a lot of theaters, like old, awesome old movie theaters that aren't operational anymore that they would also do shows in.
And this is something interesting that I just found out. I thought because you were from, the desert and out that way and the music you're into, that you had always been friends with guys like Josh Homme from Queens and Caius and Eagles of Death Metal.
Uh-huh.
And that actually came about through comedy.
Yeah.
You kind of got to meet your rock idols through comedy.
Yeah, that's what was crazy. And I've met all of them through different people, too, which is weird. I met, the Queens of the Stone Age guys through Liam Lynch, who directed a lot of videos for Queens of the Stone Age. And he directed an episode of Sarah Silverman's show. And not long after that, he was like, hey, Queens of the Stone Age are playing at the Nokia Theater. And it was like... only the second concert to ever be at that theater.
Yeah, they were right out. Yeah, they were right away.
And so we went, and that's where I met Josh. And Josh is a huge comedy nerd.
Was he still going out with the girl from
Distillers?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're married. They have two kids.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Poor old dude from Rancid.
Yeah.
Jesse Arm. No, not Jesse. That's the guy from Op Ivy. Jesse Lars. Name. And then what's the other guy?
No, I think it's Lars.
No, it's not. Lars Fredrickson. Is the other dude.
But they just had a second kid like not too long ago.
Wow.
She's finishing up a new album too.
The Distillers album?
No, Spinneret.
Okay, Spinnerette. New band. That's garagey stuff, right?
Kind of, yeah. They're really good. And she's recording it with Alan Johannes, who was in a band called Eleven. And if you saw them Crooked Vultures, he would tour with them as like the fourth member of the band.
Cool.
He's like an amazing, amazing musician.
And so now you get to just go into the desert and hang out with all these people.
Yeah.
Have you played with them at all?
I actually, I usually go out. There's a place in Joshua Tree called Rancho de la Luna, which is a house, but it doubles as a music studio where they recorded all the desert sessions inside this house. And
is that on Anthony Bourdain's show?
Yes.
Yeah.
They
okay.
did
yeah,
an episode of No Reservations out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it some amazing Caius albums. Well, I'm not sure if Caius recorded in this house, but like the first couple Queens of the Stone Age albums, and it's just like some amazing albums have been recorded there. PJ Harvey and just a ton of bands. And also, I guess everything came through Sarah's show, but Missy Pyle, who's an actress, was recording like a country album out there with a friend, and she texted me or emailed me one day and said, "Hey, I'm out in Joshua Tree. I know you come out here a lot." And I used to just go out there to camp and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you were a rock climber.
Yeah. And she was like, "I'm recording at Rancho de la Luna. You should come out." And I was like, "Holy fuck. Yeah, I'll be there." And so I went out and like took my camera and like, so usually when I go out, it's just to hang out and get high with all those people and take photos.
Yeah.
And then I was out there last week for a birthday for this guy Hutch, who he's like a legendary sound
guy. Yeah, I've seen
the
Will Smith movie based on his life.
But he does sound for...
Actually, sorry, you said Hutch?
Hutch.
Oh, sorry, that's the other guy. Hitch gets them together. Hutch comes around when they need to break up.
Yeah, I get it. but he's done sound for all the Queens of the Stone Age shows and Caius, and I think right now he's touring with Jack White doing sound for him.
Wow.
And so I went out for his birthday, and... when I pulled up, I got out of my truck and I could hear music coming from inside the house, which is not uncommon. But I went in and like they were all just playing music and record. And whenever they just jam, they just record it because there's a huge soundboard in there. And I walked in and I was like, you know, they finished playing. I'm like, oh, you know, have you guys been playing long? And they're like, yeah, about 2 days.
Joy.
They're like, we've just been jamming for 2 days.
Yeah, this is a good time to mention that the Inland Empire and the desert communities are all really into meth.
There was no drugs involved. These
No. I'm sure, but there's something in the air there.
Yeah,
where,
it's
you
probably
can,
like dissolved into the atmosphere a little bit. So it's just like everyone has a little extra.
Yeah, and when there's like on a windy day, you catch a little dust and meth, and you just go,
it hits you just right.
A great day.
Just right.
Yeah.
And so we hung out and barbecued some brisket and fucking played music all night. It was awesome.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you? Do you, Hutch?
Sorry.
Knock, knock. Who's there, Hutch?
Sorry, I thought maybe from your Groundlings days you wouldn't yes and the shit out of my sweet bit.
Yeah, it was good.
Super sweet movie ref Biff.
Yeah. All right, so if we were to play some of your Hometown Heroes music, what would you want me to play?
Little Caius, One Inch Man.
Sweet. Here you go. Caius, One Inch Man. What do you like about this song?
It's just heavy. It's really heavy. I mean, they tune down, and it's just fucking low, disgusting, dirty, amazing stuff.
Sweet.
So good.
They tricked us.
They get you to fucking turn it up.
What are the indicators? It's
usually recorded out in the desk.
Thank you.
Nice.
Now we're all high as shit.
We got a contact high from that song.
We were talking about the, you know, that desert rock can also be called stoner rock.
Yeah.
I
don't think they actually like either.
Yeah.
Label, especially stoner rock, because that's so general. But like, I'm not sure they even like the label desert rock.
I don't even know if they like the saying rock.
Yeah, they don't. Don't say the R word around those motherfuckers.
I went on tour once or twice with this band. Our band played together, and they were from Arizona in Tempe, I believe. And they were fucking great. They were called The Blacks.
Uh-huh.
And I talked about this with Neil and Cash before. And the Blacks were fucking great. The singer looked like a fucking like a maniac Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
just
like no way.
Mop of blonde hair, that's just same awesome. Kind of face, and like hated it when people would bring it. He's like, I fucking know. And he was the kind of guy you'd see at a party. And this guy fucking partied, but you would see he would have two tall boys stacked in his hand of beer, and in the other hand he would have a jug of water, which is like a guy from the desert dedicated to drinking and staying hydrated.
Yeah, yeah, they know.
He would always walk they up to me at hydrated. Parties. He'd be like, after a show, he's like, you want some water? And I'm like, no, I'm okay. You got to stay hydrated, brother. That's just fucking. Funny. And I remember I asked him what the Blacks. I was like, what's that? What do you have? He's like, eh, it's like the blues, but evil. I was like, that's great. Funny. Yeah, man, these cats play the Blacks. They're a great band. And, you know, I remember the drummer would play, you know, it was just snare, bass, floor tom, and a ride that he would just fucking destroy. But the snare was tilted away from him. Basically the part you hit facing the crowd. And so it was so he could lean over the snare and bring the hammer down with his snare hand, wow. Like just with as much energy as he could.
That's awesome.
These guys were fucking amazing, like loudest band I've ever seen in my life. And here's a crazy thing that happened to the singer Chad. They were on tour with the Swing Ding Amigos, and they were on tour for a while, and then they noticed Chad hadn't really gone to sleep for a while. And you know, they were spending some time in Pedro. There was a little bit of speed and meth going around before that. So he hadn't gone to sleep, and they continued to play shows and party. And he started kind of acting weird, and he didn't want to drive anymore. And there's two vans, Swing-a-Ding-a-Bingo's behind, the Blacks right up front. And he didn't want to drive the Blacks band anymore. He wanted to sit in the back and start rewriting all their songs.
Oh, Jesus.
To be about the Lord.
Whoa.
And this is just some dude. And he's just like, I gotta start rewriting these songs. So he starts trying to rewrite all the songs, all the lyrics for all their songs to be about Jesus. And they're like, Chad needs to take a nap.
Yeah.
Chad needs to go away for a bit.
Yeah.
But they're in the middle of the fucking forest, you know, driving up in Idaho. And so they continue on. And all of a sudden, Chad starts accusing the other two guys in the band that they're trying to eat him.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Yeah, just fuck, man, this guy's not acting like our friend. This is weird. So the other two guys, the drummer and the bass player, went back into the Swing Ding Amigos van, and they're still headed up, you know, up northwest. And then all of a sudden, they're just see Chad's van in front just start swerving all over the place, into the other lane, back off the, you know, to the shoulder, back all over the place, then pulls off to the side, and then he just gets out of the van and runs into the woods.
What?
So he was alone to, even though he didn't want to drive anymore,
he just
was
like
left alone to drive that van.
They just like, he was being weird and violent towards them. Right. They didn't know what to do. So he's like, oh, fuck you guys, you know, you don't get it, you know, talking about how he's going to fire them when he can. And so he runs into the woods, and they stick around for a day. For an entire, like, they sleep in the vans, they wait for them, they don't know what to do. They go back to Tempe, and 2 weeks goes by, and then they find out that Chad's dead. Now, within that time, Chad had been arrested for walking into some town naked.
Ugh.
And babbling. And they took him, it was just indecency, like, they let him go, he seemed fine, so they let him go. But he went right back into the woods and was found a week after that, just dead, naked, died of exposure.
Ugh.
And it's, they had just put out, you know, they put out a ton of 7-inches that were just, like, really good, and then they just kind of put out their LP, called Hate You Like Gold, that was just so fucking good. And they were just ready to just fucking keep on touring for the rest of their lives. They're one of those bands that it doesn't matter if success was going to come in any way. This is just what they're going to do.
Right.
Like a lot of, you know, a lot of, you know, indie bands and stuff like that. And the, you know, the album actually did okay considering, you know, the, for that level. But here's a song from it. It's called Reroll off of Hate You Like Gold by the Blacks. I guess try and find the vinyl on or the CD on the internet. I don't, no one distributes
it's not
it.
On iTunes.
Not on iTunes.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But check this out. This is fucking really fucking crazy. Like the blues, but evil.
Evil. I like him.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's too bad.
It's a shame.
What were you saying while the song was playing? It was. What was all that stuff we were supposed to save?
No.
Oh yeah, we were talking about your shoes. No, you know. Fucking. I've had them for 15 years.
No, that was replacement conversation. yeah, it does sound like the blues, but more evil, a little more minor-y, a little more, I don't know. I want to say rockabilly, but I don't know enough about that form of music to.
Psycho-belly.
Yeah, it does have that, like, yeah, the boom, 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 boom. Yeah. I don't wear. That's all I could really.
A shuffle.
Yeah, it's more of a shuffle.
The Cramps did a lot of that kind of music, right?
Yeah, the Cramps is one of those bands that, you know, when you get into punk, you're supposed to be way, you think you're supposed to be way into the Cramps, and then you're like, I don't know, I like it so much.
Yeah, that never got into them too much. the Misfits were kind of the same way. They were,
you know what? I appreciate them
more swingy and like kind of like.
I appreciate the Misfits more now than I ever did when I was actually trying to get into punk.
I did not like the Cramps. I signed on immediately for the Misfits. I don't know why.
Well, the Misfits just fucking had the fucking look. I mean, they just had the icon,
the iconography, and all that stuff. And then also, like, you'd listen to it and be like, "This sounds like some like just dirty version of like a '50s riff."
It was. I mean, that's kind of what punk was right from the get go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then, but it was so much later than Ramones. I feel like, right? Like,
that's it was kind of simultaneously. I think the first
My timeline's just been rocked.
Yeah, different coast.
Where were they?
No. Misfits are
East Coast.
Yeah, they're East Coast. You're thinking something that's wrong, Cash. And also remember
Cramps are
not on a microphone.
The Cramps are LA. But for some reason I thought that they were much newer.
Yeah. That's a weird thing though, when you start getting into music. The things you think you're supposed to be into, so you do your best to try.
Yeah.
What were some of those for you?
Like the Cramps. For me, there's like, it's also whatever mood. Like if I'm at a party at someone's barbecue or something and it comes on, I'm like, oh yeah, I fucking like this shit. But then if I'm in my car, I put on some Cramps, I'm like, I don't like this shit.
Yeah.
It's just kind of wherever you are.
Different tunes
yeah.
for different moods.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I don't know, Neil.
Let me think. A lot of punk stuff I didn't like. This is going to be derisive.
You were when we met, I remember being like, we like connected on some bands, and when you do that with somebody, you're just like, well, then you're going to like this and this and this because we have the same trajectory. And I remember you didn't, and I was so confused. I was like, but this is like the same kind of shit.
Right, yeah. I mean, a lot of L.A. punk bands I just had no interest in. Like,
what era? Like
Black Flag?
Black Flag.
Black Flag I never really got into.
Germs.
Germs, X.
What about the Adolescents? That was like, I think one of the best Southern California punk bands.
Yeah, no, I don't even know who they are.
Ugh, fucking Kids from the Black Hole? Come on. You've heard them before. Because you've played Tony Hawk 4.
Oh, okay. But that's the thing, is like playing that video game, I was like, oh, it sounds like a lot of LA punk bands.
Except for Ace of Spades is on there.
Fucking. When I started listening to, I guess, punk rock music, it was much more like DC stuff. Like, I quickly got
Flex Your Head compilation?
Well, I just quickly got into like Fugazi and stuff like that.
Oh, so you skipped like, over...
I kind of skipped punk.
Like, yeah. You skipped all the hardcore stuff.
Well, no. I listened to a good chunk of that. But then when my friends and I started playing in bands, it was like we were playing the post-punk end of that, and other kids were still playing like the punk version of that, and we felt a little bit like, come on, guys.
You felt better than them. That's what post-punk was for.
Yeah.
It was for guys that became 25.
No.
And then they just were like, we learned some chords. Let's change it up a bit.
I was 15.
Yeah, you're the influence generation.
It was for kids whose folks could afford music lessons.
Exactly.
Yeah, and math rock is the same way, I feel. Yeah. Like anything like odd time signatures with a distortion pedal.
Yeah,
that's a guy who grew up in the suburbs.
Now, Steve, what was like some of the shows you were going to early on?
I was really into like in the 80s. I was into more like Oingo Boingo-y, like, you know, I guess they were calling it no wave or that kind of stuff. I was real Oingo Boingo was like my favorite fucking band through high school.
No way.
I went to a lot of.
Go see every movie that Danny Elfman scores.
No, I can't get into that. They all sound the same to me. But I saw so many Oingo Boingo shows. Like the Halloween shows were huge.
The Dead Men parties.
The New Year's Eve shows were awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
I still love them. I fucking love Oingo Boingo. You know what's weird is a lot of people don't know about Oingo Boingo.
It is odd. They do so much. It's such like, it seems like it could be like considered novelty music to a point, because there's so much kind of, you know, he's got so much stuff going on.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a guy who played saxophone in that band, he would come to the record store I worked at, and he hates Oingo Boingo. He was in the band.
Wow.
He did a lot of the stuff, like all the like the hooks, but like
yeah.
he hated it because he was this like jazz guy that Danny Elfman knew. And he was just Danny Elfman was just this even in a band, just a composer, you know, getting guys that will do these weird things.
No, I'm so fucking into Oingo Boingo.
I knew a dude who was who played what was it, fire extinguisher in Oingo Boingo. Like he had a fire extinguisher and they invited him on stage at one show and he played it and like he just whenever Elfman would point at him he'd play it and then he thought he was in the band because they're like yeah you're on fire extinguisher and he showed up at the next gig and then they all kind of came in and like
what the fuck are you
what
doing
are you doing here?
Here?
Oh.
What kind of fucking usable noise does a fire extinguisher make?
Well, you know, my landlord, my current landlord, is Richard Elfman, who actually started Oingo Boingo.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And that was completely random.
Wow.
Danny Elfman's brother, who yeah. started it when it was the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo, and a lot more, like, avant-garde, like, 20 more people in the band.
Yeah,
like, it was huge. Like, it was performance art back then.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Devo got started, too.
Polyphonic Spree of the 1980s.
No, they were, I mean, that's just, the thing, everyone's like, oh, Polyphonic Spree is such a big band. No, it's a big choir. The band is just a five-piece.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What, did I kill that?
Like, no,
I was like, oh, okay.
No, but Steve.
I didn't know that.
What?
The Mystic Knights of Oingo Boingo.
Mystic Knights of Oingo Boingo. What about them?
And then, like, Devo did.
Devo? What are we doing here?
You were just on your way to say something.
Oh, I don't remember.
God, fucking
well, no, you
Neil
were,
interrupted.
Can we drink
and
less and you smoke less? Is this a thing?
No,
wait,
man.
You said Devo started how?
As an avant-garde performance art group. You know, there's video of them in, what college do they go to? But was it Kent?
That makes sense. I think they're from that area.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're from like Ohio or something.
Yeah, yeah. But it was just them all in like playing their songs out of sacks. They're all in these tied up sacks on stage and on the ground playing their and yeah, it was just fucking madness.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Devo's awesome.
Still good. That
yeah,
last album,
the last album's
great.
Fucking tight, man.
Great.
Really good.
I like a band that puts out not only greatest hits but greatest misses.
Yeah.
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 Even,
it's like
yeah.
a great thing. Hey, we're going to play a song that was sent in to us. Neil, did you take any French?
Sure.
Oui.
No, think about it some more.
Well,
how would you say this?
I did.
Frère Lapierre? Frère Lapierre.
Yeah, Frère
well, no, Frère Lapierre.
What did I say?
Frère.
Frère?
Just Frère.
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 Frère?
Frère.
Okay. This is Frère Lapierre from the album Adult Sandwiches with their song Pompous Grapefruit.
Nice.
Please to enjoy.
I can watch
All right, that was
instrumentally. It's like the Shadowy Men. Neil and I actually, one of the last times we were hanging out, we couldn't remember the name of that band.
Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet.
Yeah, remember Neil? It was at an art show, and I think you said like the dangerous Shadowy Men on a Dangerous Planet or something like that.
Close enough.
if people don't know, Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet is the name of the band that did the song.
Kids in the Hall.
Were they affiliated with those guys? Were they like a Canadian? Like,
I think they knew each other, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They would play their live shows.
Yeah,
before the TV.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah, back when it was like they were the house band.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and I love it. Like.
Such a good song. I love
my friend Raph when we found out who the band we were so into Kiss from the Hall. Kiss from the Hall. It was an offshoot. It was just funnier because the sound was better because they went to an actual studio. They weren't in a hallway.
Yeah, it wasn't bouncing off lockers.
Yeah, it was just a bit better. sounded better. But when we found out who the band was, we went and got the CD. And when he found out, like, we were looking for, like, which track was it. And it was the song is called Having an Average Weekend. And he said it was a joke, but I'm pretty sure he was like, having an average weekend? More like having an awesome weekend. This song rules. And I don't blame him. It's fucking true. It's a great song.
It's such a good song.
It's such a good song. And it's funny, my friend Raph, he was a guy that like was like way into, like, my friend Donald way into tons of music, my friend Raph way into tons of music, but was the asshole about it. He was the guy that was quick to call somebody poser and stuff like that. He was those guys.
He's an identifier. He identified himself by other people's music.
Oh,
okay.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm just breaking out.
Everyone, you want to extrapolate more on
good.
It?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a big thing with music is in your high school years where you don't have that personality that we say that you develop when you run out of options.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think myself included, kind of go, oh, well, I listen to this music, so that's kind of what I am, and that's what I will be.
Yeah.
So, like, punk or, you know, ska or metal, definitely metal, and like, you know, goth music and... Whoever listens to Morrissey.
I don't know if there was any metal kids in my school.
Really?
I don't know if there was.
Oh, my God.
It was goths. I know that. There was a couple.
That's,
I mean,
it's weird
Hawaii.
To be
it's weird.
Yeah. Goths in Hawaii seems weird.
Yeah, they were. They all hung out at this place called the Milk Bar.
Y'all doing too much.
And I remember one time I went, and I was like, oh, fuck it. It was like a coffee shop. Yeah. The kids would go play board games at or whatever and smoke cloves. You could smoke inside.
Oh,
and I remember, cloves. Like, I was like, the milk... Like, fucking, hey, can I have a Maloko Velo shit? Like, mostly everybody did not get what I was talking about. Yeah. I was like, Milk Bar. This clockwork, the ultraviolet, or you know how you dressed up last Halloween, probably?
Yeah. Fucking goths.
Yeah, I love that Paul F. Tompkins old bit. Just
so
like,
fucking
hey.
Funny.
Where's the funeral? And then I love the fact that he goes home and calls his friends
just to see how funny it actually was.
Yeah, no, there was you know, there was surfer punk kids, there was local kids, and there was some punks, but like we didn't like them. We didn't like the punks, even though we were punks, but we were just dorks that listened to good music, I guess. You know, I don't know. We rarely bothered with high school because it was all about waiting till high school was, you know, till the day was done to go then hang out at the record stores or go skating or, you know, or go to shows.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, well, like you actually, you grew up in Southern California in a time that has been well documented.
Yeah.
In the mid to late 80s.
Ska and punk. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I'm talking about fucking Fast Times at Ridgemont High shit.
Oh yeah. Man. Yeah.
And where, you know, like, what? Everything was very segmented.
The soundtrack to Fast Times is amazing. You know what movie has an even better soundtrack of like of 80s fucking music at that time? Like, was Losing It.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember a movie called Losing It?
I do remember Losing It.
Holy shit. I watched that just recently, and it has a fucking soundtrack that blows any 80s movie away. Like, fucking, it covers the whole gamut.
You know, shit, I wish you guys had computers.
I feel like I remember that movie.
That movie is weird because it is a, you know, a teen sex comedy, and it ends on the darkest fucking bummer of a note, like with an abortion, and like a fucking nutty movie.
Is that where Losing It comes from? Is it
losing the baby? No, they're. The movie is insane and worth watching just for the soundtrack.
Yeah. I remember hearing those early Van Halen songs in Fast Times and being like, oh, they were like a new band once. They were like,
yeah,
the shit. And then when Jonah and I talked about this once, where like newer bands and like underground whatever shit that you get into kind of flips you into like going like, oh, well, that weird cover that they do, like, what is, who did that? And this band called Speaking Canaries that was like an offshoot from Don Caballero and like this math rock, like very like heady, whatever scene that we were into. They did this cover, this Van Halen cover of Girl Gone Bad. And I was like, that is the greatest fucking song I've ever heard. Let me go find the original. And I was like, oh no, that's the greatest fucking song I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That song is incredible.
Yeah. So,
this is the soundtrack to Losing It. Jeff Allen Band has the titular track.
Okay.
Losing
Friends
It.
Yeah, Losing It. The Temptations.
Great. Yeah.
Smokey Robinson, The Miracles.
Yeah, great. Crazy.
The Champs.
What's the song?
Tequila.
Oh, okay.
D. Clark with Hey Little Girl. The Shirelles with Will You Love Me Tomorrow. Curtis Lee with Pretty Little Angel Eyes. The Rockin' Rebels with Wild Weekend. Freddie Fender, Wasted Days, Wasted Nights. And then to wrap it all up, comes back Jeff Allen Band, Don't Run Away. I want to...
Well,
that
must have been like 80s teens.
There's way more stuff retro in the soundtrack that is not on that list.
Well, that's what's on the official soundtrack. You know, if you're, because those are all those.
There's like
those
Blondie shit and like,
really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Losing the 1983 soundtrack, but it's probably just what they were able to get.
Are you looking on IMDb?
I'm looking on 80s soundtrack.
Yeah, looking at the soundtrack on IMDb and give that motherfucker a read. It's
give that motherfucker
give that
a
mofo
read.
A read.
All right. Temptations, Smokey Robinson, The Champs, D. Clark, Rock and Rebels. No.
You're like, yeah, that's not a great soundtrack.
No, I mean, these are great. These are
great stuff, but.
Well, you know, it's funny, because you said that personifies 80s, you know, soundtracks. I'm not sure if you've ever. All right, so, but here is the soundtrack to bring it back to Kids in the Hall.
Again. You say that that's the. Start there.
You say that that's the 80s.
Nope, and I was wrong.
You were wrong.
Wrong movie. Wrong sex losing your virginity movie.
Oh, was it the one?
Last American Virgin.
Last American Virgin. All right.
Which I don't think even had a sound, like a released soundtrack.
It didn't have an OST?
Nope.
What was on it?
I'm going to look here.
So Last American Virgin.
Movies, those teen sex comedies, like not like so predating American Pie and those things. Like, I feel like people don't know how important those were for kids who were like 13 and scrolling through the fucking cable listings and going like, all right, in 17 days at 1:30 in the morning on Cinemax, we're going to play this movie where apparently someone loses it.
Yeah,
and
then
I am
you
going
think
to set my alarm in my room,
yeah,
and then I'm going to make sure that my parents are asleep, and I'm going to crawl on my hands and knees as to not make the floorboards creak so that I can go watch this thing.
Yeah, Losing It was Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
get.
Yeah, that's the one to go to Mexico.
Yeah, right? Tuck and roll.
Jackie Earl Haley
yeah.
is in that.
Oh, I love Jackie Earl Haley.
Okay, here's soundtrack for Last American Virgin.
The Last American Virgin.
The Police. Da do 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 da 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 da. Are You Ready for the Sex Girls? Gleaming Spires. Human League, Love Action. Commodores, Oh No.
There you go.
Better Luck Next Time, Oingo Boingo, which is like not on any Oingo Boingo album. I know what boys
take
like
it from Steve.
I know what boys like. The Waitresses, In the Flesh, Blondie, Open Arms, Journey, Keep on Loving You, REO, Speedwagon, Since You're Gone, Jeez. The Cars, Shake Jesus It Up, The Cars, Whip Christ. It, Devo, Granada, Los Fabulosos, Three Paraguayos. There's a lot of Hispanic.
Hit 80 song.
Los Three?
Los Paraguayos.
Why is there one English word in that title?
I don't know.
And it's three. Everyone knows yeah. Trace.
I Will Follow by U2, which is the song that's over the abortion montage.
So what was up with 80s movies and like needed an abortion to get up in it?
It was finally fucking legal. Crazy.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
No, it was finally legal.
The Plimsolls, so, yeah. Zero yeah. Hour.
I guess not legal, but more.
Tommy Two Tone, Teen Angel Eyes. There's shit that's not even on this.
So that is that is quite an 80s soundtrack.
Yeah, it's very 80s.
Here is the a very 90s soundtrack, and it is the soundtrack to Kids in the Hall, Brain Candy.
Oh, okay. I thought you were so going to say Empire good. Records, and I was going to jump
no,
across
no,
the
no,
desk
no,
and
no.
stomp your skull.
Please no. Thanks for letting people know that I'm at a desk, though. Pavement. Matthew Sweet, Liz Phair, yeah. They Might Be Giants, Chibo Motto, Tragically Hip, Guided by Voices, Yola Tango, Stereolab, Pizzicato 5, and of course, Shadowy Man on a Shadowy Planet. That is
so
90s. So fucking
90s. Yeah.
And I listen to probably all of those bands at least once a day.
And an amazing movie.
It's a good movie.
I fucking love it.
Me and my friend Donald had his mom drive us to the theater to go watch it. How old does that make you feel?
My age.
Yeah. You know, the first time I met you, I hugged you.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't remember. When did we meet?
At CineSpace before Channel 101.
Really?
Yeah. It was the first time we officially met. We both had done Super Deluxe stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think I was like having a rough go at it with a girl. And I went there.
I remember that.
Yeah, well, fuck it.
Everyone remembers that.
Dude, pick a fucking year. And I remember I was like, hey, and you're like, oh, hey, Jonah. And then I hugged you. And I think it was just because I needed someone my size to just have comfort
me. It's awesome hugging a tall person.
God damn, when you can lay your head on someone's shoulder, fucking get all out. It is the best.
It's
so
great to hug Tall John Schrader.
Tall John cradles you in.
Because your head doesn't even go up onto his shoulder. It's in his chest.
He fucking brings you in and he fucking... Tall John is our friend, John Schrader. He is a writer on Bob's Burgers. He is 6 foot fucking 28. He... But he's okay with hugging because he knows.
Yeah.
Because he knows probably because from the one guy he met some freak that, you know, there's
a lot of divots.
Yeah. There's probably some guy that looked like he had leprosy, but John probably didn't care. He's like, I need to be hugged by someone taller than me.
It's such an awesome thing being hugged by a tall person.
Yeah. It's, oh, man. And then when you shake their hand and you realize, like, oh, this is how it feels for people that shake my hand.
Yeah, it's like, wow, that's a big-ass hand.
Yeah. Y'all made that a big-ass hand.
Y'all making you a big-ass hand.
No, that a big-ass hand. You know what I'm saying?
Racial?
Is that what you said? Or Rachel?
Rachel has a huge hand.
Me and my friend Mike were watching this video once where it was this guy who was just drunk. And he was talking about these noisy neighbors that started moving into his neighborhood. He's like, I'm not going to say what. Okay. I'm going to get Rachel. And then Mike just said, hey, Rachel, get over here. Oh, man. Hey, we're going to play another song by Atlanta's very own Turf War. Please check out Turf War. They are fucking incredible. Here's the song, Cheers to the Years.
I'm gonna start.
That was Turf War with Cheers to the Years. Check out their album, Years of Living Dangerously. It is a fantastic, fantastic time. I got to see them at last year's or this year's South by Southwest, and it was fucking great to get to meet them. It's just because I'd been a fan for a little bit, and just to see how awesome they were. And I got to see another good band, Pujol, P-U-J-O-L, Pujol.
Right.
And he's great. Those. He's actually, you were talking about how Turf War has been anointed by Pitchfork. And Pujol is like, he's been given the okay by Jack White.
Oh,
Jack White's like, it's like,
something.
This kid's good. He has a fucking song called Reverse Vampire that is great.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to hear that.
Once I get the okay, we can play it. But if you don't, if you want to just check it out now, look up Reverse Vampire by Pujol. Pujol. Coors Light and a little bit of Stoli. Makes this podcast more fun.
Tell us about your music career, Steve Agee.
All right. Will we get, not serious, but we'll get on topic.
Yeah, let's get on topic.
All right. Yeah, I came to LA actually because I wanted to be a musician.
Married, so
pregnant.
So you came to be, you know, it's funny because our last guest, Greg Heller, also, you know, had aspirations early on to be a musician and ended up finding his way through being a successful comedy writer, while you came out here and you were in bands for a bit before getting into the Groundlings.
I started playing in bands in Riverside, and then
give me some band names.
The Grazers. It was really the Grazers was really like my first band, and
really, and you kept it through.
Yeah.
Did you ever make it to the Northwest?
Because I was no. We didn't even we just played, you know, San Diego, L.A.
and just waited for fame.
No, that's why we came to L.A.
Yeah,
and then you get to L.A. and you're like, holy fuck, there's a trillion bands in L.A.
A trillion bands, a billion scenes.
Yeah. It's harder. It's way harder to be to make it as a musician than acting or comedy or it's. And the band, like, as soon as I got to L.A., was just done. It was over with.
Immediately?
Really? Almost, yeah. And so I was going to a music school in L.A. called the Musicians Institute because I wanted to learn.
Am I?
I had
a friend that went there, commit suicide.
Whoa. God, way worse derailer than I ever had.
My favorite thing is to say something completely true and then use a comical thing
to get
to thingy
back
thing.
On track.
Yeah, exactly.
Musicians.
You went to MI, which a lot of I've noticed a lot of assholes go there.
Do they?
A lot of guys that want to fucking run the pedestrian light trying to cross the street on Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's
with an Ibanez bass strapped to the
back. Ibanez, the guitar you can stab someone with.
It's
Ibanez.
Mostly, that school is mostly foreign students.
No way.
It's mostly like people from like Denmark, lot of metalheads like Denmark, Sweden.
I like, also like Denmark and Sweden, places where like masterful guitar players come from, and they come to Los Angeles, home of Slash.
Yeah, and they love Slash. They love, you know, but they're all really good. But yeah, they're kind
and that
of
place,
assholes.
Musicians Institute is a great place. I mean, you know, when my friend was going there, he was learning how to build a guitar, how to put together, how to be an engineer, how to do all this different stuff. So it's actually mostly practical. It's mostly how to just work within the music industry. It's not how to. Right. There are how to write songs and music theory.
I wanted to learn theory and learn how to read music.
Yeah,
you know, which I eventually did, but it was also something for me to pass the time. Because my band had broken up.
Was it also the thought, well, maybe I can become a studio musician?
Yeah. I definitely wanted to do that. But so did everybody else in LA. And there's only so many studios. And my girlfriend at the time had broken up with me while I was in school there. And so I was looking for a place to live. And one of the instructors, the guy who was actually the head of the bass department, Was looking for a room.
We're all laughing at the idea of a bass department. Give me a second.
No, this motherfucker is the best bass player I've ever fucking seen.
Yo, man, this is bass 101.
He's Rachel. White. Racist.
No, I'm just trying to get low.
Hey, man. This is bass 101, motherfucker.
Yeah. Do you remember bass tapes?
Also, Rachel.
What's bass tapes?
Miami bass tapes? Or just like bass.
No, what the hell is that?
It was a whole series. Remember when like having like crazy bass in your car was a thing?
Yeah, it's just like
right around the time when Ice Cube's Lethal Injection came out.
Yeah.
It was just, it was music made to expose the fact that you had had subwoofers and stuff.
Yeah, and it was bass tapes.
It was just
bass. And it was literally modulated guys saying bass. Bass.
I don't remember that at all. All
right.
It was a thing. Grandfather of dubstep is what Cash murmured in a corner
without a microphone. We should point this out. Mike doesn't have a Cash. Cash doesn't have a mic because he forgot his.
But he did bring extra headphones.
All right, we'll give him that.
Cut this all out.
So sorry. So the bass department.
Yeah. So I went there for a year and then finished. And
but wait,
it must be quite the intensive program.
Hold on a second. Did you?
Well, you can go for as long as you want, but I learned everything I needed.
Did you move in with the head of the bass department?
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, he was touring with Crosby, Stills, and Nash as their bass player.
Oh man,
did you move into the head of the bass department for the same reason that you moved in with him? Like, was his reason the same in that you both broke up with a girlfriend?
No. I mean, you know, I don't know why. I needed a place to live, and so I was like, fucking, yeah. And, and I played in, a couple other bands after that, and then I started dating this girl who was taking classes at the Groundlings, and I was like, do you have a sound effect for that?
Nope.
Come on, man. Just sample some Saved by the Bell.
Oh, wait. I think I might have found some bass tapes.
Oh, is that some bass tapes? Bad bass music. Miami bass music. Old Shul.
Mom, we'll look greasy.
No.
So would people just play that in their car for no, like, just...
Just to show off, look at how my hubcaps rattle.
Yeah. The kind of stereo that sounds good from two blocks away.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves. Is
loud car music.
Loud cars.
Yeah.
Especially when you're putting gas. When you're putting gas in your car at the gas station, they're like, really fucking.
Oh, what kind of psychopath leaves their radio running while they're filling up?
A lot of psychopaths.
Oh my god!
Come on, you know when you pull up in your truck and you want to fucking get into getting some fucking diesel fuel, and you're just fucking there with your short shorts, and then you're just fucking pumping up that gas, and you're fucking saluting it up, and then you're just pouring out your rock star energy drink, and then you're just grabbing your crotch and looking at the lady that's getting $3 an hour. $3 an hour to serve you. And you say, listen, señorita, fuck you.
God bless the USA.
Aborted. So you do you have did you bring stuff from that band?
No.
Okay, so here's the thing. You have a background in music. You get into comedy. You start going to the Groundlings, and you go on to have a successful comedy career.
It hasn't been horrible.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. You got to remember, it's all perspective. Because it's like here's the thing. When you're doing the kind of stuff that we all do, you could easily look at somebody and go, fuck, man, I'm fucking failing at everything.
And every now and then you do. It's hard not to.
Yeah, it's hard not to, but you always have to remember that there's some guy on a few steps below you going like, fuck that guy.
Some guy living with his bass instructor.
Yeah, exactly.
Going, fuck, it could be so much
always
better.
When you're in a bad place, always think about you 4 years prior. And then like, oh, God, I would get punched in the face by that guy for complaining what I'm complaining about now.
Yeah, yeah.
And through doing this music, you actually, like, you know, you got to meet your fucking desert rock idols.
Yeah.
And you got to perform with amazing people. And one of the things I think I'm most jealous of is that you've become best buds with Matt Berry.
Pretty tight.
Matt Berry is just this hilarious comedian, comedic actor, Renaissance man.
Yeah, he is.
From England. He, you'll remember him from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Yeah.
And
Mighty Boosh.
And Mighty Boosh. Snuffbox. And Snuffbox. But the part that really gets you angry is when you hear his fucking album.
Oh,
and it's so fucking good.
He's a legitimate musician. Like, I am not a legitimate, like,
I think he's on the fucking, you know, Danny Elfman style of just he composes these fucking things. And, like, you get to meet him. You met him at Comic-Con.
Well, no, I met him when we were doing Sarah Silverman's
show.
That's
right, he was in an episode.
Rob Schraub and I were obsessed with, you know, Snuffbox and Dark Place, and we had a part in a show that we really wanted Matt Berry to do, and we're like, this will be a great way to meet him, is to get him to come out and do this. And we also had the advantage of Rich Fulcher, who was his partner in Snuffbox, is one of my best friends. And so Rich put us in contact with Matt, and Matt was just like, fuck yeah, I'll come out and do an episode of the show.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And,
of course I'll come do an episode.
Whiskey!
And he came out, and he had a few days after we finished shooting, and it was our last episode of that season, and it was right at Comic-Con. And so we're just like, hey, you want to go to Comic-Con? And he's like, I don't know what that is. And we're like, it's nerds, and they will love you. He's like, nobody knows who I am. And
oh, wow.
We're like, dude, trust us.
Yeah,
and no so idea. He went down to Comic-Con and was just fucking mobbed down there. They loved him.
That's awesome.
And he fucking loved it.
And that was that was the same year. That was the same year as the last Comedians of Comedy show at the Balboa Theater.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was there, and you knew how huge of a fan I was of his. And you introduced me.
Yes.
And I said hello, and then walked away. I was
like,
building.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. That guy's a big fan of yours, Matt. He just walked away.
Yeah. It's like, because it's like you were just like, and you were the best, because you knew how that is when you meet someone you're really
absolutely.
Into. So you were just like, you're like, oh, Matt, hey, this is Joni. He's a comedian. He's really funny. And he's like, oh, nice to meet you. And I was like, nice to meet you. And then I just fucking
exit
walked
left.
Out. I don't even remember where I went. I remember I was shaking.
Yeah.
It sucks because I fucking love him so much. He fucking makes incredible music. So this is some of his stuff. Just like.
Is this off of Witch Hazel?
Yeah. Like, he composes tons of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not even comedy music.
No. Why do I know this?
Because probably I played it for you. It's just beautiful.
He has a song, though, that is really funny and beautiful musically. I think it's called Accident at Harvest Festival. It's on Witch Hazel. It's about him loaning his gun to a kid to, like, show a kid his gun, and the kid blows his head off on accident.
No.
It's called Accident at a Harvest Festival. But it's beautiful. And by the way, we have permission to use it. I texted him today. He's like, yeah, play my music.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, then, like, which song do you think from Witch Hazel we should play?
Harvest at it.
Okay. All right. So we're going to play...
Jonah, I've had this song stuck in my head before, and I don't know where I heard it.
I don't know. I've played it.
Yeah, it must have been like at a barbecue.
Because there's a lot of times that it will be the end of the night and you and I drunk, and I'll just start showing you stuff that I think you'll like.
I don't think I've ever drank with you.
Really? Man, then I have had a really confusing 11 years. So, okay, AG, we're gonna get into your relationship more with Matt Berry after this song. And the fact that you just texted him makes me excited.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And he's like, yeah, just send me a link after. When,
no, don't send him a link.
No, we'll send him a link. He'll
Cash,
love it.
Remember to edit out everything that's embarrassing. So I guess this episode won't come out. But this is Accident at a Harvest Festival And you said this is about him letting a kid a gun.
Yeah, you can hear it in the lyrics. He gives a kid a gun.
Okay, this is it from the album Witch Hazel. That was fucking great.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And you can also tell, like, what kind of influence he has, like that 70s kind of folky, weird. He's got weird tastes, but kind of awesome.
And it's also, it's like, it's people who are very into aesthetics that you can tell because they do that song, but they also record it the way those songs were. Like, it sounds the way those songs were recorded.
Well, you ever watch any of Richard Iowade's music videos? Richard Iowade, who played, Dean Lerner or Dr. Thornton or whatever.
Yeah.
Garth Marenghi's. He was also in The Watch.
And The IT Crowd.
And The IT Crowd. But his music videos for, like, all those bands, like, they're fucking so spot on to the genre that he picked.
Yep.
And also his movie Submarine is just fantastic. Incredible. It looks like incredible. It could have been made the same year as Harold and Maude.
Yeah. It's so fucking, that movie is so, and the soundtrack fucking great. Alex Turner from Arctic Monkeys.
I love the
whole soundtrack.
Oh, that's great.
And it's just him and an acoustic guitar. It's fucking awesome.
Actually, it's funny. Just the other day, Doug Benson said he wants to come on the podcast and do, like, best soundtracks.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Talking about soundtracks or movie scores and stuff like that. So that'll be fun.
Special episode.
There's some good ones.
It'll be fun. So you guys become friends. And you.
This is Steve and Matt Berry from the previous conversation.
Sorry. Steve, you become friends with Matt Berry. Yep. And then you who? How does this feud start?
This feud state. It was really weird. So Matt goes back to England after Comic-Con, and out of nowhere, just about 2 weeks later, I wake up one morning and I have an email from Matt, and there's a song attached to it that he wrote about me. I got to find the right one.
God, you know what I just thought? If he listens to this, he's going to hear me doing those horrible impressions.
No. I'm sure he hears that shit every day from people on the street.
Scrap it, man. Just let's start over.
Okay. This is the song that I wake up to. There's just an MP3 from Matt. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And
what's the subject heading?
I don't remember. I think it was like, fuck you or something. I was like, that's weird. And there was a song and it was this.
But how many?
AG, a big, fat, fucking, cum-guzzling, pot-smoking, gay teddy bear.
Holy shit.
I was in heaven. I was fucking in heaven.
So this is unprompted. You guys sit in, pause that shit, bro. Get used to the fucking radio game. This isn't how it works. You got to get used to the way we do things here. Check out, it's a girl alert.
Look at them titties.
So Planned Parenthood. So
you're in fucking heaven.
This is great.
Yeah,
this is so
it's
neat.
Fucking.
It's
yeah.
unprompted. He just sent this to you and just tore you apart.
He still does.
I want to also know. does he play? He must play all these instruments, right?
Yeah, he plays everything.
So does he have like a recording set up in his house?
Just
his apartment?
In his apartment. His flat. Yeah, he's got stuff.
So he has all the stuff there.
Yeah,
electric drums.
I don't know what he does for – you know, that's the big thing for
big
me,
thing
too.
Big thing for me to think about because I would love to have a drum set. Can't – neighbors.
I think he probably has – I think he does have, like, those Roland electric drums or whatever they are. I don't know what they are.
The nets, so it feels like you're a
– yeah. But I don't know. I mean, that's always been a big problem for me, too, is, like, I don't play drums, and I am way too lazy and ADD to program drums. So, like, I will just go in GarageBand –
And then play a loop. To the loop.
Anything you hear of mine is you'll hear just one solid beat the whole fucking way through.
You know what I do? It's like I just do keyboard drumming on GarageBand. But if your computer is at all slow, you just fucking do-do-cha-do-do-cha.
Yeah.
You know, it will start lagging and it's hard. So then you get that song and you're digging it. But you, too, as well, make music.
There's a ton of stuff which I have to have Matt resend because I've had some hard drives crash, and it was the ones with most of that music.
That's a fucking bummer.
But you can find it on, if it's still around, adam.com. Like, it's called the Barry Agee Experiment.
Oh, I remember that.
Where we actually made videos, too, about it.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Let's see. I'll find one that I wrote for Matt. I think this is one. And it pales compared to Matt's shit. There's a beat that you will not hear change once.
Matt Berry shitty, Matt Berry shitty fuck. I hate Matt Berry, he's a shitty piece of Hitler. I hope you get dead when a little baby shoots you.
Baby shooting.
Oh, Matt Berry, you're a pointy-headed shit ass. Matt Berry, butt hairy, stupid fairy, dumb dumb. Oh, Matt Berry, I hope you trip and fall. Oh, Matt Berry. Oh, Matt Berry, you're a smelly alcoholic. And you like to hit old people when you're drunk.
All true love.
Oh, Matt Berry, you never used toothpaste. Your breath really smells like a monkey's
ditch. Matt Berry, Bud Harry, Stupid Fairy, Dum Dum. Oh, Matt Berry, I'd love to set your hair on fire.
Why not? He has good hair.
Wait, I'm waiting for a drum fill.
Oh, Matt no. Berry, motherfucking asshole. Oh, Matt Berry, stupid piece of shit ass. Oh, Matt Berry, fuck you, fuckhead.
And by the way, I will only ever do one thing. Every mistake.
Oh, no, no, no. We got that.
Really?
Fuck you, Matt.
And then I just never know how to end them.
Yeah, that's the trouble with GarageBand. Hard to use a loop and fucking have a nice big ending.
Here's one,
or
Matt.
Chorus.
Here's one Matt sent me completely. And this was probably the most recent one, but he still will, out of the blue, send me songs like this one.
You fucking cunt. You fucking cunt.
Can we play this one?
Americans hate the word cunt. You fucking cunt. You fucking cunt. Yeah, you don't know your back from your front. You fucking cunt. You stupid cunt. You fucking big, fat, stupid fucking cunt. You fucking cunt. Yeah.
Facial.
You fucking cunt. How about that, you fucking cunt?
Listen to the end.
Thanks, Granddad.
Oh, my God.
Motherfucker, man.
So fucking good.
That's fun. It's like a. It's pretty much reserved for the hip hop world now to have these battles.
Yeah,
yeah.
But this is more than that.
Well, but
well, there was a battle.
The Neil Young, Lynyrd Skynyrd thing.
Yeah,
it was actually all like a fucking goof because
Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage. No, that was true. I mean, like Hulk Hogan had an album, then Macho Man Randy Savage put out a rap album and
a diss album. That's the term I was trying to think.
A diss
of.
Album.
Or a record. Yeah.
This album right here?
No, that album.
Oh, okay.
These nuts?
These nuts.
That's fucking incredible. Are all these, like, so are those things still up? They're
probably still on Adam.com. Just go search the Berry AG experiment. And some of them, I think, are. I made a video for one. With the help of Rob Schraub, he actually shot and edited it for me. Geez. So it's really fucked. And it's me singing about Matt giving the entire world AIDS. And it's got some graphic fucking, like Rob would take, you know, pictures of dicks and like, you know, fucking coming. And it's crazy fucking funny.
Shit. Rob Schraub, amazing director. If you've never seen his Death Cab for Cutie video, I suggest you try and tread on and find it.
It's Jeff good. Crocker from Super Ego also worked on that.
Yep.
It's very, very good. Thank you so much for joining us, Steve.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Steve Agee can be found on Twitter at
Steve Agee.
Real quickly, tell us about how you had 8 zillion followers.
No, I tell that on every fucking podcast.
Okay. Whoa. You've done other podcasts?
Oh. Yeah, everyone except for Nerdist.
Because you and Jonah both did that. You and Jonah both bailed.
Here's the thing. This is different. This is the thing. You and I were complaining about Twitter.
Yeah.
You had a show that nobody came to.
Yeah, it's like, why am I promoting this
shit? Yeah, you're like, what's the point of Twitter? And then you were saying, like, it's all just bullshit anyway. And I got wrapped up in your fucking speech. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And you're like, right? And I was like, yeah, me too. And I fucking got off Twitter. And I don't remember how many followers I had at the time. But I was like, fuck it, who cares? It's all just a fucking practice and vanity. I was really in a weird place. And I just got rid of it. And then I was so stoked, and I felt really good about myself. And then I was talking to somebody, like, yeah, me and Steve quit Twitter. And they're like, no, Steve's back on. He's
I lasted like 3 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, I think that was it.
It was the Scott Pilgrim premiere I was at, and
you had to tell people that you.
And no, I wanted to fucking tweet how fucking awesome it was.
No, you didn't.
Yes, here's, I did.
No, here's what you wanted to do. You wanted to tell people that you went to the premiere.
Nope. Yes. I wanted to say I just saw Scott Pilgrim. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, and you knew that everyone would be like, Steve A. just saw it before it came out. He must be at the
point. I didn't care. I wanted to tweet. I just wanted to tweet because it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is a fun thing. But so you're at Steve A. G. back in full effect without all the hangers-on.
Full effect. I got rid of the spam bots.
Yeah, fucking full effect. As always, we got... Thanks to our producer of the program, Cash Hartzell, who can be found at Cash Hartz. Cash is also a senior segment producer on X-Play.
Senior?
Watch the show so we don't get canceled.
Well, that'll happen anyway. And as always, off to the side, our good buddy, Mr. Neil Mahoney.
Hi.
And you can be found at
Chelsea Peretti.
and I am, of course, at Jonah Ray. You can follow the show on Twitter at Jonah Radio, spelt how it is. And also you can go to jonahradio.tumblr.com. We'll be posting track listings and fan art and stuff like that. And if you are in a band and you guys are good, please send in your links or MP3s. Or M4As to...
DRM, huh?
Yeah, yeah. jonahradio@gmail.com. JonahRaydio at gmail.com. And if someone wants to make a Jonah Radio design that looks like a Dio shirt, fucking go at it.
Nice. That would be cool.
Review us on iTunes. Tell your friends to subscribe. It really helps as far as I've been told. And listen, you know, the bands you heard, if you like them, buy their stuff, go see them live. If anything, this podcast for me is really a way to help support, you know, bands that could use the help and that I think should be heard and I like. And I'm playing stuff that I like. This is not stuff. I'm no reviewer. I don't like it.
Buy Matt Berry stuff so it encourages him to make more music.
Oh, yeah.
Opium and Witch Hazel.
Yeah, please. And was it? Is it Go On? What is the his other album? Is Solo? Solo.
Well, Solo's a single album. It's like two, right. And it's from Witch Hazel and So Witch Hazel and Opium are the two main albums.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I'm going to play to take us out. I'm going to play another Matt Berry song. This one is anxiety inducing. It's so good. Just imagine a bunch of weird forest elves holding hands, circling around a fire. Their pants are off, but their testicles are brown. And I'm starting to sound like a really half-assed Greg Proops.
or a full-ass dungeon master.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Jonah Radio. As always, apologies for the first episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening this far.
Bye.
last slow breath underneath the beech tree hut. The smell of a badger's death in the grass leaves a mighty fear. And so, even it dies on the trees, the ash buds break. If you look there, you'll see the last in time for the badgers.
Nerdist.com.